finances to be able to go there and to be involved in church planning, to be involved in seeing churches grow, being established, of course, but we want to see the churches, the few that are there, to grow, men to be trained, women to be trained, so that more churches can be started. You know, it's sad if you think about it, if you study the Baptist and even just in our country here, if we're going to go on and we're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, we have to be winning souls for Him. And new churches have to be started everywhere, not just in the around the world, but here in our own country. And so when we think about France, we realize, man, there's such a lack of churches there, and we're just so burdened for that. That's how the Lord broke my heart when we were there in 2010, right when the Lord was speaking to our hearts, and He was saying, He burdened us for France, and we were like, Lord, if You want us to go, just call us. But that was the thing that burdened my heart, was the fact that you could just travel forever, it seemed like, and not see a Baptist church. There are some Baptist churches there, but there are not very many. And the ones that are there are not very well attended, as are the other churches. So that's our burden. We want to get back to France as soon as possible and be able to do what God has called us to do. So we count that a privilege to be able to go and represent Jesus Christ there. But this evening I want to take you, if you would go to a very familiar passage, I wanted to show you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just wanted to share this verse with you here real quick. First Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It's a verse I think that you're all familiar with. It's not a very long verse, but I believe it's a very important verse, and I believe that studying the Bible, of course, is something worthwhile. So if you would stand with me as we read this, just this short verse here, three words. Many of you could probably quote it by memory, but my desire tonight is to take you into this passage, just these three words, and to shed some light on them for you to help you understand a little bit more what God is looking for here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Let's do that one more time. You can do that together with me. Ready? Pray without ceasing. How many of you heard that verse before? I think most of us have. Well, let's have a word of prayer, then I'll let you be seated. Father, we thank You for this evening. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to the hearts of these believers. Lord, I pray that You'd draw us closer to You, Lord. As the world seems to be getting darker and darker, Lord, it's time for us, Lord, like never before, to step up, Lord, and to be a witness, Lord, in our church, in our community, Lord, in our country, Lord, in our government, that so much they need You so much, Lord. I pray that we would be challenged, Lord, not to be afraid, not to give up, not to live in despair, but to live in victory, Lord, and to be excited about the fact that You have placed us on the front lines, Lord, and You've given us an opportunity to fight the good fight for You. Help us, Lord, to understand this scripture. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the passage, but before Jesus began His ministry, He went into the wilderness, and He spent some time fasting, and He spent some time praying. And He walked in, and He was in there for 40 days, 40 nights, and the scriptures say that when He came out, He says the angels ministered unto Him. How many of you are familiar with that passage, where He says the angels ministered unto Him? And I'm sure you probably heard that word minister before. And really all that word means is, it's kind of, the word is very similar to that of a waiter or a waitress. And it's the fact that it's someone that is basically saying, how may I help you? Or may I take your order? It's just somebody that is there to serve. Someone that is there to minister. And that is a person who is just pretty much trying to take care of somebody else and give them what they need. And that is very important. And you know, when I was younger, a few years ago, I had read this verse many times, pray without ceasing. And I think there was a time in my life where you know how when you're a child going to Sunday school, they make you memorize a verse, or they make you say a verse before the class begins, or for you to get a treat or something. You know, Jesus wept and pray without ceasing were my top two favorite verses. And it wasn't because I was totally into them so much, but it's because they were short. And I couldn't forget him, you know. Say a verse and I'll give you a treat. Well, pray without ceasing. Oh, really? That's all you're going to say? So that's one of those verses. But when I was growing up in Mexico in the city of Guadalajara, we went to a school that was in English, and it was a bilingual school, English and Spanish. And we would go there and did our schooling there for several years. And we had a devotion. And now this wasn't it was a Christian school. The curriculum was Christian. It was a curriculum that we were used to doing. But there were people there that weren't saved in the school. There were people that were from this religion or that religion. So it was kind of open that you could go there, but it was the same curriculum, so it was good teaching. But not everybody in there was on the same level. And our teacher was probably charismatic. He wasn't a Bible teacher, he was our gym teacher. But we would have these devotionals in the mornings, and we would go out into this in the cool there of the morning in Guadalajara. We're about up in the mountains, 5,000 feet, so it's nice and cool. We would go out there and we would just maybe pick a verse, or he would pick a topic. Really wasn't always a verse, and we would just discuss it. Here we are, these 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 14-year-old boys discussing a Bible verse. And this one came up one day, and he said, "What do you think that means?" And, of course, we're there, probably most of us at that point not really focusing on the Scriptures as much as we should have. Some of them probably weren't even saved, but we would all give our opinion. What does pray without ceasing mean? And one of my buddies would say, "Well, I think it means that you're always praying." Another one said, "Well, I think that's just your attitude, that you're always wanting to pray." And we all went around and we gave our opinions and we gave what we thought it was. And that was pretty much it. There was no teaching or anything like that. But ever since that day when that happened, I don't remember what day, what month it was, but I remember that time. And I'd always wondered in my mind, what does that verse mean? It's so simple. I said, what does pray without ceasing mean? So I was curious about that. So I want to talk to you about that tonight, but also let's look at the first thing here. Let's break this verse down. There's three words. Let's answer this question first. What is prayer? There's three questions that I'm going to ask you tonight. And I believe as we look at these questions and we answer them, we're going to be able to understand exactly what God is looking at. You see, the Bible is given to us and has a spiritual meaning. We understand, we take the Bible literally, but sometimes you read the Bible, and as you begin to study it, you can really understand through God's Holy Spirit exactly what He's trying to teach you. Now, let's look at what is prayer. That's the first thing we're going to look at tonight. What is prayer? Matthew 15, 18, John 17, 1. If you want to look there, if not, I'm going to read that for you. But John chapter 17, verse 1, and this is going to be simple tonight. I think this is hopefully going to be an encouragement to you. But we're going to look at tonight, John 17, 1, what is prayer? Pray without ceasing is our text verse. Verse 1 says, "These words spake Jesus." How many know what those four words mean? These words spake Jesus. Jesus is talking here, right? Pretty simple. I told you it'd be simple. "And lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Who could answer that question? What is prayer? Break it down for me. Make it very simple for us tonight. What is prayer? What's that? Communion with God. That's exactly one way of putting it. What is prayer? Prayer is communication. Okay? Prayer is communication. You say, well, why is it prayer? Well, here it says that Jesus, it makes a point here. These words spake Jesus. The emphasis is on the fact that Jesus was opening his mouth and sharing something with the Father. Prayer is communication. So when we think about pray without ceasing, we have to understand that prayer is really talking to God. I mean, if you study the word pray in the history of England or here in our own language here in the United States here, and you study they would say pray tell, pray tell. And basically what the person's saying is, hey, talk to me. Communicate with me. Hey, listen, I'm asking you, please, tell me. And that's just something that we use in our own language, and we don't use that as much anymore. But so we see that according here to John 17, and I think this is something we already knew, but prayer is talking to God. And even on, if you want to boil it down, even maybe in a broader sense maybe, it's communicating. You see, because not everybody can open their mouth and talk. Right, some people can't speak. They're born mute, they're deaf. They can't speak, but it's communication. It's opening up a line of communication between you and God. That's what prayer is. You say, "Well, that's pretty simple." Let's move on to the next one. I think I'm ready for the next one. All right, where do prayers come from? You ever thought about that? Where do prayers come from? Anybody have an idea? Where prayers come from? From a prayer book, maybe? Yeah, there are some prayer books. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Matthew 15, verse 18. Very insightful verse. Again, these are three truths that I see here that are going to help us understand what it means to pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." So when you communicate, where do those thoughts or those words or whatever, however form you are communicating with either God or with a person, where does that come from? What does the Bible say, Matthew 15, 18? It comes from the heart. Amen. Somebody's awake. Praise the Lord. We need to zap that thing back there again to get people awake again. So we're looking at what is prayer. And we can boil it down to saying that prayer is communication. Prayer, and we're getting a little bit closer to the heart of what this is, prayers come from the heart. So at this point, we could say that the heart, it's really communication is taking something from our heart and putting it in God's heart. It's taking something that is in your heart. And again, that sounds so simple, I understand it. But if you stop the wheels from spinning for a minute and you think about that, it has to come from your heart. And it will come from your heart when you open your mouth. But that's very important. And you know what? That's a privilege. That's something that should encourage you, because you have the privilege to share your heart with God. Let me give you an illustration of that. How many of you remember when you were dating your sweetheart? It's okay, even if you don't remember, just raise your hand so you don't feel that old. Just raise it anyways. You know what? I can remember, I've only been married 2 years and a month and some days, I believe, right? But you know what? I remember that time when I fell in love with my wife. I'm still in love with my wife, but I remember that time when it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was smitten. I thought everything else in life was secondary at that point, except the Lord. I had to hold his hand through that whole relationship. But my wife, I remember, you know, one of the things that characterized my relationship with my wife? You could ask my wife, did we write each other regular letters? Did we call eventually? We started calling. Did we write emails? Were they short? No. You know, during that relationship, when I fell in love with my wife, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to share my heart with her. You know what I wanted to share with her? Everything in my heart, within reason and appropriateness, of course. But I wanted to share my heart with her. Now think about that. In the love relationship, that is essential. That's the key. When two people want to come together, or they come together, they fall in love with one another, normally, you want to communicate. Think about that with your relationship with God. Now again, we're just talking about pray without ceasing, right? We said, what is prayer? It's communicating. And we said, number two is, where do your prayers come from? They come from the heart. So up to this point, we understand that really prayer is communicating your heart with God. Right? It's sharing your heart with God. Now let's look at the last thing here, and then we'll go back to our text. What is the heart? You ever thought about that? You know, when I was in Bible college, I would always hear people say, you know, honestly, I just don't know why it was so complicated. I'm so glad that the Lord made it simple for me in the Word of God. I would read books, I would read a commentary, or I would look in the dictionary, the Bible dictionary, and you know, what is the heart? And you get these things, it is the heart, the seat of the feelings, of the emotions, of this and of that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I couldn't even picture that, you know, because I'm a simple person. I couldn't even picture those definitions they were giving me. But then God showed me a verse that we had to work on one time in doctrines class in Genesis 6:5. Listen to what it says, and listen so you can understand. It's going to give us the definition of what a heart is. This is the first time we find the word heart in the Bible as far as the order that we have here. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination... Now, let me stop there. Where do imaginations come from? Where do you concoct those imaginations? It's not that complicated, okay? Where do you think up... I'll give you a clue. Where do you think up an imagination? Right? Okay, so that's a hint. Let's continue reading there, verse 5. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you see the definition of the heart there? The thoughts of the heart. You say in God's, when it's used, obviously we can take the word heart two ways in the Bible. One, you can take it physically. And we understand what a heart is. Now, if you think about your physical body, your heart is what keeps you alive. It's a self-running, it's like a machine, really, electric machine that pumps blood and different things that are in your bloodstream, and it pumps it all throughout your body. But also, when you think about spiritually, when God thinks about the heart spiritually, he calls it what we think about the mind. You know, Proverbs 4:23, when it says, you know, when it talks about keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you think about that, Proverbs 4:23, it's not talking about, hey, make sure you eat lean meat, okay? Hey, make sure you don't eat those French fries because that is not going to be good for your heart. And you know everything flows from the heart. What is he aiming at? He's aiming at your mind. So we said tonight, we're talking about pray without ceasing. We're trying to figure out what does God mean when he says pray without ceasing. And we found out, number one, that prayer is communication. It's communicating with God. We found out that prayers come from our heart. And now we understand that our heart, boiled down to the most simplest term and definition according to the scriptures, is our mind. It's what we use to think. Now I want you to remember the illustration of when of a married couple or a couple that is dating or engaged, and how their desire is just to share their heart with one another. But I also want you to think about your heart, your physical heart, and how that works, and how that through your heart, when your heart flows, physical heart, when it works and it pushes the blood and there's a flow through your body, doesn't that create health? Isn't that the only way that we stay alive? Now think about it. If you were to cut the blood off on one of your fingers, if you were just to kind of pinch your finger for a long time, what would happen to the end of your finger? It would die, would it not? Now think about that blood and how important that is. Think about it. When you don't have the blood flowing through you to a certain part of your body, when it gets cut off from there, it dies. It ceases to have life. Now think about the spiritual implication of that. You say, where in the world are you going? Well, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians so I can kind of tie it together for you, because I don't want you to be too confused. I think you're going to see the light here rather quickly, Lord willing. Again, our text says, pray without ceasing. If your physical heart is going to be healthy, the blood has to flow. If your body is going to be healthy, blood has to flow to every extremity of your body. Now think about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about your personal relationship with God. You say, what are you getting at? I'm still missing it. Pray without ceasing. How many, I'm going to give you one more illustration to help you understand. These are all going to tie together here at the end. How many of you have ever met somebody that likes to talk? No, it's okay. It's not a negative. It's that's okay. I like to talk sometimes too. How many of you met somebody in the point of where you're at that day, whether you're tired or not tired, have been across someone's path and you say, boy, they're just talking too much, you know? I maybe been around somebody like that. You're thinking to yourself, boy, I just wish they'd stop talking. You know, sometimes even with your spouse, your husband or your wife, sometimes you're just in a bad mood, and you're in the middle doing something, and somebody's talking to you, and you say, man, I just wish they'd just, you know, nice words, shush. You know, I just wish they'd stop talking. I'm not interested. When God, through the apostle, wrote this passage, it says, pray without ceasing. Let me tell you what God is trying to say here. If you could paint the picture like this, God is saying to you, hey, talk to me. Open your heart. Communicate with me. You know, God has never, he's never looked at any of his children or any of those that call upon him and say, oh, it's a bad time. I'm really busy. I wish you'd just, you know, shut up. I don't want to hear it right now. And he doesn't say, okay, you're sharing too much. He doesn't say, I don't care about that. You see, prayer is communication. Communication means that it's going to have to come from the heart because there's no other way. We're talking about the spiritual heart, your mind. There's no other way for anything to come out in, as far as communication goes or anything in your life that doesn't come first from the brain. That's what controls your whole body. And so when you read a verse like pray without ceasing, you say, does it mean that we're supposed to pray all the time? That's a good thing to do. But if you think about it, Jesus, when he was in the boat, fell asleep. Now, can you sleep as a human being? Can you sleep and pray and talk to somebody at the same time? Now, you can sleepwalk, can't you? I'm talking sensibly. And I'm just using that illustration to show you, you know, pray without ceasing does not mean you're always praying. What it means is God is saying, hey, listen, I want you to share all of your heart with me. Think about the marriage, the relationship before you get married. Do you want your loved one, the girl that you're in love with, the man that you're in love with, that boy, that girl, do you want them to hold stuff back from you? You remember when you were trying to get to know that special someone? No. You want everything, don't you? You want to talk on the phone. You know what? It's not uncommon to hear people that say, you know, when I was dating your aunt or when I was dating your mother, when I was doing this, my phone bill was so high it was ridiculous. My brother-in-law said that. I heard someone else say they were paying $600 or something a month. I was like, man, cell phones have come a long way. You can just pay $75 and talk unlimited now, you know. But back then they didn't have that, did they? You know why that happens to everybody when they're... When you meet that special someone, you want to share your heart with them. Just because you're saved, if all of you are saved here tonight, I hope you are, just because you're saved, that's not the end of it. Jesus Christ knows you, but he wants you to share your heart with him. Now think about this, the illustration of the physical heart. I believe your prayers, your communication to God is so important. I think the life of a believer, and myself included, if I do not spend regular time in prayer sharing my heart, I'm just talking about my heart, okay? If there's a missionary on my heart, then I share it. If there's heartburn on my heart, I share it. Hey, you know what, Lord? I really hate that person. I don't like them. Hey, you know what, Lord? That pastor I talked to today, boy, what a bummer. I didn't want to talk to him. Hey, you know what, Lord? I'm really struggling today. Matter of fact, if I had a chance, I'd give up. Hey, you know what today, Lord? I would just love it if I could just get an ice cream cone. It does not matter what's on your heart. You have to understand that your prayers, if you're not communicating them to God, no matter how big, how small they are, if you're not communicating your heart to God, just like you were communicating your heart with that special someone, then your spiritual life is going to be dead. That's not a shame on you statement. That's an encouragement. He wants to know what's on your heart. And I know, I almost want to say forgive me, but I won't say forgive me because this is the word of God. I believe it's important. Three words that can have so much importance and such an impact in your life. You say, why does it matter if I share God all my dreams and all my desires? I'm probably not going to get them anyways. The point is, whatever he puts in your heart, or whatever's in your heart, when you share it, when you pour it, when you communicate it with him, it's like a spiritual exercise. You might not see what's going on there, but when you share your heart with God, it's like a heart with no plugged up valves. Does that make sense? And so if you see a picture of your spiritual life, if you could just see your spiritual life summed up into a heart with all those arteries and veins and everything coming out of it, when you spend time in prayer, and I'm talking about specifically what this verse talks about is sharing your heart. If it's worries, if it's hatred, if it's a lack of a desire to live for Him, whatever it is, good or bad, you have the right and the privilege to share your heart with God. That's a blessing. How many of you know, my wife can't raise her hand, how many of you know that not every day I want to live for the Lord? How many of you have been there? You say, that's not good preaching. Well, it might not be, but it's the truth. I'm not super perfect. You know, I'm not the greatest guy that ever walked the earth. I'm sure you can see that, but I have to spend time in prayer with the Lord. And I have found as a personal exercise, something that has helped me through many a time is sharing my heart with God. And I challenge you this week, if you like to walk and talk to the Lord, just talk to Him about you. Take everything that's in your life and pour it out to Him. Everything. Everything. If you like to write, get a notepad with a lock on it, okay? Because some of the stuff you pray, you don't want other people to read because they're prayers. It's appropriate to pray those things to God. You write them down. Dear Father, dear Jesus, dear God, here I come. And just pour your heart out to Him. And God will use that in your life, not only to guide you and to lead you, but it's going to be a spiritual exercise that is going to draw you closer to God. And you know what the truth is? I found that as I write my prayers and I read them out to the Lord, or I'm just writing them and I see what's in my heart, it really helps me. It helps me understand what God is dealing with. It helps me understand why I'm struggling. There are so many benefits to it. But the only point I want to push to you tonight is pray without ceasing. God is saying, I have time for you. I want to hear your heart. I want you to talk to me. Don't be afraid. Share your heart with me. And you will be surprised if you stick with it. What will happen? That relationship that you have, that special someone, if you're sitting by that person tonight, that relationship didn't just come like going to the grocery store and buying a loaf of bread. You put work into it. You took the effort to pursue that person, like my wife pursued me. That's a joke. Yeah, right. Okay, I tried. That was a lie, okay? That was a lie. But, you took time to pursue that person. You took time to share your heart with them. All I'm trying to drive home to you tonight is this. You need to share your heart with God. You need to be a prayer warrior? Yes. You need to pray for missionaries? Sure. You need to pray for your family? Sure. But you need to share your heart with God on a daily basis. Boy, Lord, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to tithe this week. You know? Boy, you know what would be really cool, Lord? It'd be really cool if somebody would just donate a house to me. You say, that's weird. If it's in your heart, it doesn't matter. The purpose of the heart is to get it out, and the person you're supposed to get it out with is the Lord. And you will see how He will begin to bless you and how He will begin to guide you and just to help you have such a clarity of mind and of thought as to what He wants you to do on a daily basis. Pray without ceasing. Boy, we didn't know it meant that, did we? You look at it and you think, well, it's just a simple little verse challenging us to pray. Spend more time in prayer, praying for those missionaries. No. He wants you to share his heart. He's in love with you. In an appropriate sense, I mean that. Are you in love with Him? You say, how do I know? Are you talking to Him? That's the easiest way to know if you're in love with Him. If you're not, get down and start talking to Him and you'll fall in love with Him once again, as you should be. Father, we thank you so much for the